Thank you for choosing to listen to this message. At Coastal, we believe in changing and enriching lives through the power of the Word. We pray that this sermon would be a blessing to you.
Session in trying to discover the Apostle Paul. And we had just a few things last week of his personal life. Can you tell me something about Paul that would be rather personal? We did a few things, not a lot. We did a couple of things last week. He had a sister. That's, yeah. I always wonder if she's older, because you know, older sisters are the best thing a guy can be blessed with, you know, when he's a kid, you know. So I would like to have the answer to that. I don't think it's going to come up. Anyway, you going to say something? Son of a Pharisee, yeah. So he came by that normally. Yes, Chris. Excellent. And when we come across that, when we should hit that pretty hard, okay? Hit that note a couple of times. Make sure we do that. Somebody else with personal. Go ahead, Mike. Yes. Excellent. He knew a lot of languages. Did I hear you right? Yeah, he knew a lot of languages. At least Hebrew, Aramaic, Greek, and it was some other. It seemed like there were four of them. Latin, right, Latin. Excellent, excellent. Linda, were you going to say something? Boy. Yeah. I thought we did pretty good on that. We just went over it one time. Obviously, later on, when we get him into court, like before Felix and that kind of thing, we'll at least go over it somewhat again, because there is some new information to be gleaned about that conversion. But we went over the nuts and bolts in the ninth chapter there. Somebody else, oh, you guys did so good. Okay. Yes. Gamaliel. It's an inside joke here about pronunciation, okay? And you are never held responsible for pronunciation of names, okay? I was getting ready to do a class on the four words Greek has for love. And it was and C.S. Lewis. I had C.S. Lewis tape. You remember them little cassette tape players? It was such a blessing to me to get those lessons. You get those lessons in the mail and to listen to them that kind of. But anyway, so I got C.S. Lewis on the four words for love, okay? And I had worked on pronouncing agape. Does that sound right to you? Yeah. Agape sound? I get the tape. He's right. That you nailed that. Agape. So I learned right there is you're not held responsible for pronouncing these things, okay? We will work on better things. Okay, yeah, excellent job. And we did try to get through, and I thought we did pretty well with the conversion of Paul, that where he was converted. We did that. Now, you should have a skeleton outline for tonight. And I didn't do the text to get you to Jerusalem. Okay, wait a minute. I got the text about Jerusalem, okay? But I wasn't trying to read the whole book of Acts, okay? And most of our information will come from Acts. And we will, if we need to, we will defer to Luke. Amen? Okay. All right. So... you remember where he had his conversion at? Who knows? On his way to Damascus. Okay, so he's saved on the road, and they have to lead him, which I love that story. And they get him into Damascus, and they get him to where he can see again, and he was called to be a preacher of the gospel. So what does he do? As soon as he has his sight back and maybe a few good meals under his belt, and he's ready to go. What does he do? He starts preaching. And how long does anybody know how long he preaches? They are going to kill him. He will preach, and they're going to kill him. And it's almost like his brothers in Christ have to make him leave. And so they put him in a basket, let him down from hole in the wall. And then he winds up in Jerusalem. Let's go to our let's go to one of our slides there. We don't have Damascus. Let's just go start with our number one slide then. That one just has a few towns on it and not areas there. We'll use this one a little later. Let's go to our first slide with the text in it, 9:26 through 30. When he came to Jerusalem, there he gets. He gets to Jerusalem, okay? He preaches in Damascus till they try to kill him. And then he goes to Jerusalem, okay? He tried to join the disciples, but they were afraid of him. They don't believe him, that he has had something, a conversion of his attitude. So they are afraid of him. They not only don't trust him, they are afraid of him. Okay. Not believing he was really a disciple, but Barnabas. Now there's Barnabas again. Now watch this guy. This is one of the better guys that you'll read about in the Bible, Barnabas. It is Barnabas who, and we'll do another one tonight, that gets Paul plugged in to where he can do some good. It's Barnabas. Now, Barnabas is going to try to help him here. Don't help him a whole lot. I don't know why. We'll work on that. But Barnabas here took him and brought him to the apostles. In other words, he's going to vouch for him. Okay, that's a word I like to use there, vouch. He told him how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord and that the Lord had spoken to him in how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. Now, what's the key word there? Fearlessly. He preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. Go to the next slide. So Saul stayed with them and moved about freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. He talked and debated with the Hellenistic Jews. Now, I got Grecian in mine is a Grecian. This is a more classical way of saying it. Okay, Hellenistic means they spoke Greek. And they might have spoke other languages too. Okay, but they sure enough spoke Greek. But when you say somebody's been Hellenized, you think that they have picked up the culture that went along with it. And that's really what he wanted to do, Alexander the Great. He wanted to get that culture out, okay? So he preached to the Hellenistic Jews. And why is he perfect to be preaching to the Hellenistic Jews here? He's perfect preaching them because his call is to the Gentiles. And so he's the one who can really bridge that gap and does bridge that gap. Okay, not so much here. He doesn't get it done here. And we'll talk about that. Yeah, he preached to the Hellenistic Jews, but they tried to kill him. There you go again. And so he's got to get out of town. When the believers learned of this, they took him to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. So they're worried about him, and they try to do something with him. Okay. And so what did they do? They sent him home. Now, he's got two strikes. First one, Damascus, and he preached, and they tried to kill him. He's got another strike here in Jerusalem. He preached, and they tried to kill him. Are you seeing a pattern?
And I'm not sure, okay? But for certain, you know that sometimes at preaching you create more heat than light. And you got to be careful of that. Amen? Like when you show up here, you know, I don't say, oh, you bunch of dumb sinners. And so glad you turned out tonight to learn something. God knows you need it. You know, I just get, that's not going to work. That's not going to work. Okay. I'm just saying that there might be some flaw in his apparatus here. Okay. I'm not sure. Okay. Boy, it's not, I don't make a really good judge anyway, but it is a thought that he didn't do any good here in Damascus, and we don't know how much good he did. We'll see later. Here it doesn't look like he did much good. I mean, he was perfect for the job, and sure enough, he spoke well enough to make them mad to kill him. And what did his brothers have to do? Send him home. And send him home now. So they left Jerusalem, took him down to Caesarea, put him on a ship, and then he sailed up north to his home in Tarsus. Okay? Now what we're trying to do is get a feel for this man. Okay? We this is what we have. This is information that we have. We're trying to get a feel for this man. And anyway, that clears that one up. Paul in Jerusalem. Let me make sure that I got this. Okay, now next we have Barnabas goes to Tarsus. I'm not sure I got the text included there. Something happened in Antioch. We're not sure exactly what it was, that there's this explosion of revival in Antioch. And you got all of these people coming and are saved, but they don't have a biblical background like many of the Jews have a biblical background from going to synagogue. So, but they just don't have it. And so we want to pay attention to that, okay? Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. Okay? Remember, Barnabas is the guy that helps Paul always to get plugged in to where he can work, okay? All right. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. During this time, some of the prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. Okay, so you've got two areas mentioned. Jerusalem, where's the start of the gospel, or we'll say the start of Christianity in Jerusalem. And now you've got where? Where's action at here? Antioch. Now we're gonna do that a couple of times in the book of Acts, but I think just that's normal, and you should think about it this way. We have the attention on Jerusalem, and then we switch attention to Antioch. You're supposed to get that. We switch. Now we'll go back to Jerusalem. We're going to do that in a few minutes again, okay? But yeah, you got two centers now going on. Centers. Yeah, okay. I'm working with these teeth yet, okay? I'll get them. So you got the center in Jerusalem, which is unmistakable. And if you remember the instructions in the book of Acts to those in Jerusalem, that they were to be witnesses of me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. Okay. All right. Barnabas says, we need help here. We got all these people coming in, and they need to learn some background about the Old Testament from the book of Genesis forward, and how they're going to do that. And what Barnabas think? He says, wait a minute. I know a guy who knows this stuff. His name is Saul. Matter of fact, I even know where he's at. He's at Tarsus. So I'll go get him and bring him down here, and we'll give him a job. Thank God for Barnabas. Amen. Thank God for guys like Barnabas. We'll give you a job. Oh, I need one. And did he need one, too? He failed. He struck out in Damascus. He struck out in Jerusalem. And now they send him home. I don't know what he's doing down there. It doesn't say he ever did anything down there. But now he's going to get a job. There you go. Give him a job. One of them named Agabus stood up and through the Spirit predicted a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. This happened during the reign of Claudius. The disciples, as each one was able, decided to provide help for the brothers and sisters living in Judea. Now, we think we know when this was. This is around 46 AD. We think we know when this is. So this will give us some date, some idea placing this, okay? Okay, let's go to the next slide. Now, in the church at Antioch, there were prophets, teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, Niger, Lucius, Cyrene, whoever that is, who had been brought up with Herod, the Tetrarch, and Saul. So we got these guys that are working there. Let's go to the next slide. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set us apart, Barnabas and Saul, for the work which I have called them. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. Now, what you have here is the first organized mission effort. Now, we got mission effort out of Jerusalem, but the only way we got mission effort out of Jerusalem is to threaten to kill them, and then they run off and hide someplace. They didn't do what these people are doing here. They didn't sit together and organize, and we'll bump into them later in our lesson tonight. They didn't sit and organize how are they going to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. I'm not sure they was interested too much in spreading the good news of Jesus Christ, especially to some people. Okay? And we should see that as we go. All right. So you got, but Antioch, things are different in Antioch. In Antioch, they not only have the gospel of Jesus Christ, they want to share it with people, and they've organized and looked for resources to do just exactly that. And that's what they're going to do. They're going to share the gospel with people around the world. And how are they going to do that? By sending out Barnabas and Saul, two proven guys. Now, don't forget, they've been there how long? At least a year. Okay, so they have come some distance. And I mean, the church has really come some distance too. But they've been there at least a year. Okay, that was... the council at Jerusalem. Usually when things go good, you see this coming, don't you, Adam? Somebody don't like it. And they're worried that you ain't doing it right. That if it's going that good, you must have something wrong. And so you need help with it, okay? Okay. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, oh, we already did it. Let's go to the next slide. Next slide. Certain people came down from Judea to Antioch and were teaching the believers, unless you are circumcised according to the customs taught by Moses, you cannot be saved. Now, what baggage did they bring with them? I'm sorry? Yes. Jewish baggage. They were thinking primarily in the idea of Jews. They were stuck in a racial idea. And so they thought, if you're going to be saved, you first have to do what? Become a Jew. And then maybe you can be saved. The question is, who can be saved? Now, I'm going to warn you right away, okay, that God's in the effort to trying to save more people than you think he should. Amen? Thank you, Pastor. I just want to warn you, he's forever expanding his tent. And he's way out ahead of us on this job. Okay? All right. I for why I got C.S. Lewis on my mind tonight. Okay? I think he was the one who wrote The Great Divorce. And that's what, that was, yeah, am I right? I think in that book, that was the point in his book, is your heaven can be turned into hell because the wrong people got there. Yeah. Okay, anyway. So what do they do? They come from Jerusalem to check them out. They want to see if they're orthodox enough. Wonder what their theology's like. They're worried about that. They're worried about stuff, okay? This brought Paul and Barnabas into sharp dispute and debate with them. No kidding. These guys here just got right. I'm talking about Barnabas and Saul. Paul, or Saul. They just got right. And now they're questioning, but you guys got it wrong. Well, these are not pushovers here. Yeah, they are. Yeah. So Paul and Barnabas were appointed, along with some other believers, to go to Jerusalem to see the apostles and elders about this question. The church sent them on their way. And as they traveled through Phoenicia, Samaria, they told how the Gentiles had been converted. This news made all the believers very glad. But all the believers aren't the big high muckety mucks down there in Jerusalem. We got to yet get by them guys down there. Okay. But how's everybody treating this? It seems like joyous. It seems like joyous. So it's good. It's good. This is what we want. Okay. But why are they going to Jerusalem now? To get the stamp of approval from the apostles. And I don't think they're going there for correction or to be corrected by them. But I don't think they're going there for that. I might be wrong, but I just cannot see Barnabas and Paul looking to be corrected on what they've been preaching. Okay? Okay, let's go to the next slide. Acts 15, 1 through 5, the council at Jerusalem. There are several of these, okay? We're not doing the whole book of Acts here, okay? But I want to fill in a little gap here that Peter has already been called on the carpet in Jerusalem because Cornelius was saved under his leadership or his preaching. You know where I'm from. And the Holy Spirit came down and filled everybody. They spoke in tongues and it was clear evidence that God had moved. You got it. It was clear evidence. And that's the point. But so they dragged, they said, Peter, what are you doing? What are you doing? Cornelius and his whole family, they're not Jews. But if you listen to him and you read that, he just says what happened, which is good. He just says, well, he doesn't theologize or say this was really a great event. He doesn't do that. But it's like he's letting the gospel out. Okay?
He's already been called on the carpet down there. And now here he's got this question coming to him again. Again, who can be saved? And that's the question. They were welcome. When they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and the elders, to whom they reported everything God had done through them. Then some of the believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees stood up and said, the Gentiles must be circumcised and required to keep the law of Moses. There it is. It's not just being circumcised. That's just the first step. Oh, we got other laws for you. Yeah. So, they'll slap them onto you. Yeah. Yeah. Well, it doesn't hurt them any. They don't have to do it. You know, but you do. Okay. And so, can the Gentiles be saved? Well, if they become Jews in some kind of form, then they might be able to be saved. Okay, we got this guy. Let's go to the next slide. The apostles and the elders met to consider this question. After much discussion, Peter got up and addressed them, brothers, you know that some time ago, God made a choice among you that the Gentiles might hear from my lips. There he goes, the message of the gospel and believe. God, who knows the heart, showed that he accepted them by the Holy Spirit. They accepted them by giving the Holy Spirit to them, just as he did us. The same thing happened on the day of Pentecost. Same thing happened here at Cornelius's place with a bunch of Gentiles. Okay, but they were considered God lovers. I don't know if you've heard that term before, but they were considered God lovers. They weren't like Gentiles. You know, they were trying to worship Yahweh, and so they were God lovers. All right, go to the next slide. He did not discriminate between us and them, for he purified their hearts by faith. And then, why do you try to test God by putting all on the necks of Gentiles a yoke that neither we nor our ancestors have ever been able to bear? No, we believe it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus that we are saved just as they are. Okay, it's great words, but hard to live out. The words are easy to say, but hard to live out. Okay, now watch them, all right? You got to watch these rascals, okay, when they start in on that, right? That all looks really good. Okay, let's go to the next slide. The whole assembly became silent as they listened to Barnabas and Paul telling about the signs and wonders God had done among the Gentiles through them. Then when they finished, James spoke up, brothers, he said, listen to me, Simon has described to us how God first intervened to those chosen, a people for his name from the Gentiles. The words of the prophets are in agreement with this as it is written. Now, listen, there's always room in the Old Testament, even though it looks to be very racist, there's always room in the Old Testament for Gentiles. And you'll see it bust in every once in a while. You'll see it bust in, especially like in the book of Jonah. That's what Jonah is about. Does God actually love Gentiles, and does God actually want to save them? And you'll see that bust in every once in a while in the Old Testament. James has it right here. After this, I will return and rebuild David's fallen tent. His ruins I will rebuild, and I will restore it, that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord, even all the Gentiles who bear my name, says the Lord, who does these things known from long ago. Okay. It is my judgment, therefore, that we should not make it difficult for the Gentiles who are turning to God. Instead, we should write to them, telling them to abstain from... There it is. They got to molest you. They have to do something to you. They cannot just say the grace of God and turn it loose. We can't have that. So what are we going to do? We're going to give them some restrictions. Now, the restrictions aren't that bad. Matter of fact, they're pretty good advice, okay?
Let me see. Instead, we should write them telling them to abstain from food polluted by idols. Now, that won't last very long, okay? Paul will shoot that down. You know, we'll take something out of it. He'll shoot that down later because he said there's no such thing as an idol, so nothing can be behind it to do it any bad. But still, you got to observe, okay? All right, I get it. They got to give you something. They can't. No, you come in and ask them a question. Yeah, it's all got. But they got to give you something. And here it is, okay? From sexual immorality, yeah, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. From the meat of strangled animals, and why are they worried about strangling animals? Because it got the blood in it, okay? And then the last thing is from blood, four things. And by the way, if you're reading the book of Acts, you'll have that letter verbatim after this text, okay? Just so you know, it's in there verbatim. Not just the text which we read, but another writing of that. Mm-hmm. Okay. Results of the council. Oh, that's what we did, isn't it? Yeah. Okay. All right. And all this, and during all this, Paul's been out there on his mission tour, and now they're back, and they're going to have that one works so good, we'll do another one. Okay, so we'll do that. Sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us go back and visit the believers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they are doing." Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them. But Paul did not think it wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. I don't know if you're familiar with this passage or not, but this is John Mark, the one we attribute the second gospel to. Go ahead, Chris. Yeah. Oh, yeah. They were tickled. When they left with this letter, they were tickled with this because this is not going to hinder them at all. Yeah, this won't hinder them. Nepotism is alive and well. If I understood you, Chris, this is the reason he arose to power is because he's half brother of Jesus. Oh yeah, yeah, and you would look for Peter and John to be the spokesman there, but not, it's James, and I'm glad you brought that out. Okay. That just pay attention to as you go. And on the first missionary tour, John Mark, I think he used defected, and not defected, deserted. That's it. Yeah, they're deserted. Yeah, abandoned. And this did not sit well with Paul. I don't know the circumstances of why he didn't. He might have been homesick, looking for his mama. I don't know. It doesn't say, you know. And what does anybody know what Barnabas' interest in John Mark is besides his nephew, but what is Barnabas doing? What he always does is helping somebody to plug in so they can do their work, so they can finish their calling. I just think it's just absolutely marvelous, guys. And Paul can be rough. He's a rough guy. I'm sorry? Oh, yeah. Yeah, And he's not very understanding of someone who might have some weaknesses. So they're going to part their ways, but it's not all that bad, you know. But the dissension between them strong enough that they cannot go together and work together on this here, okay? Now, don't lose sight. Actually, what we're trying to do, at least I'm working on this, okay? We may not get any of this done, okay? Is I want to try to get a feel for how Paul came to theology and being able to explain the gospel to the rest of the world, because he's the one who does it. I just want to point that out to you. He's the one who does it. And I want to try and get the flavor of how he does that. And the only reason I'm saying that is because then maybe we can understand how do we move along in our lives. I hope to do one night on the blessedness of ignorance. Guys, if there was ever anyone that was sure of himself, it was the Pharisee Saul. He was so sure that he had it right, he would kill you if you disagreed with it. He would hurt women and put women in jail, as well as men, but I just want to bring it down to a common denominator. And the only way that he could really be converted is if he would say, I know nothing. I don't know anything. And therefore, I need to learn from the Lord and other people as well. He's learning from Barnabas has got to be teaching him all kinds of lessons here. And I'm not degrading his work, because he was needed there in Antioch for over a year just to mature those people, to give them some kind of background and understanding of the word itself. But there he is. But he started because he was able to tell God, I know nothing. Will you teach me, Lord? And he does. Let me go ahead and do that one now. In Philippians, if I can turn there quickly to that text. Anyone who thinks he has a reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. In regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for legalistic righteousness, faultless. But whatever was in my profit, I now consider lost. And that's what he did. He understood that all that he had ever relied upon, all of what he had been taught, amounted to nothing. And he had to learn everything over again. And that's what I would like to kind of get a gist of as we go along here and we study about him. If you have not had that experience, probably I want to tell you to buckle up. You'll probably get it. If you have not done that, you will get it. Life will not let you off. And for me, it was right. I'm about middle-aged and probably going through a lot of other stuff as well. And I realized I knew nothing. I'll tell you the text that saved my life. Okay. It's where Jesus was talking to the disciples who were turning away, and that was me. I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking, what does this mean? What to this, okay? And he turned to the 12 Now, the disciples are leaving in groves. They're going. They're leaving. They can't believe what he's saying. He says, eat my flesh and drink my blood. And they can't stand that. What's he talking about? Cannibalism? And they just leave him. And he turns to the 12 and he says this, will you also go away? Almost like tweaking them. Will you also go away? That was me. He talked to me. And Peter came out with these wonderful, wonderful words. He said, to whom would we turn? For thou hast the words of life. And I knew at that moment, I knew with all of my heart in that moment, I knew that if I was ever going to have any twinkling of life in me again, it would be because of Jesus Christ. Because I knew nothing. Everything I thought I knew had gone out the window. And the only thing left was Christ. And it was a real turning point in my life. And that's what Paul's saying here. Everything that I've had, I count but lost that he might have Christ. Because he can't have both. By the way, here's a trick question for you, okay? If Paul gave up all that, what did he become? I always do this with this text. It's a trick question, but I really do want you to answer it. What did he become when he gave up being from the tribe of Benjamin? When he gave up being a Pharisee, when he gave up that, what did he become? Try it, Brad. Amen. He became free. I'm looking for something substantial. Go ahead. He had to do that before he got saved. He was a human being. For the first time in his entire life, he became a human being. Before that, he was a Jew. And if you ask him, before that, he was God's child. If you ask him, he'll tell you in a heartbeat. He knew who he was. But at that moment, he became like everybody else. Without any of the drapery, he became like everybody else, a human being. And what is God in the process of doing? Saving human beings. Okay? Okay. We got the results of second missionary tour, splitting up with John Mark. Okay. Now, chapter 16. Let's go to the next slide. Did we read that yet? This sharp disagreement that parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus. And they know that Cyprus, by the way. They're from there. But Paul chose Silas and left, commending by the believers to the grace of God. He went through Syria, Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Okay? Does that end that passage? Okay? Okay. Timothy joins the group. We will not get through this point tonight, okay? We'll take what we can get, all right? This 16th chapter of the book of Acts is really a big deal, okay? Hope we catch some of it. If not, we'll dash through it, and then we'll come back next week to it if we need, okay? Paul came to Derbe and Lystra, where the disciples named Timothy lived. The disciple named Timothy lived, okay? Timothy, whose mother was Jewish and a believer, but whose father was Greek. The believers at Lystra and Iconia spoke well of him. Paul wanted to take him along on the journey, so he circumcised him because of the Jews that lived in the area, and they all knew that his father was a Greek. He just argued at Jerusalem not to circumcise. Now, first thing, what did they do? Has Timothy circumcised? First thing. what he's doing is making sure that Timothy has access to any Jewish synagogue or anything Jewish. That's all he's doing. Okay. And he's not making a Jew out of him because he's already a Jew. Okay, go to the next slide. As they traveled from town to town, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles, elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey so that the churches were strengthened in faith and grew daily in numbers. Amen. Amen. And the revival continues. We got Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Perga, Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching. This is another one. I didn't mean to bring this up tonight, but this is another one. He had a way in which he knew where God was directing him. And we're not. And he sometimes when it was closed off, he would say that Satan closed it off. And he had ways in which he knew this. Okay, if we discover any of them, we will make sure we share them. Okay, amen. Okay. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter. Oh yeah, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to attack. Go to the next one. So they passed by and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man in Macedonia standing, begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Now, what does the man ask for? Yeah, he asked for help. Yeah. Come over to Macedonia. After Paul had seen the vision, he got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel unto them. So, yeah. Yes. And yes, you're right. Yeah. He's learning. He takes him a while, but he's learning. And he interprets a vision. And how does he interpret the vision? He said, the man asked for help. What's the best help he can give him? Give him the gospel. He just naturally interpreted it. What this is, though, we're not, unless you're paying attention to continents, this is when the gospel first goes to Europe. So far, it's been staying out of Europe. Now, the gospel goes to Europe for the first time. This is a big deal here, 16th chapter. Was you going to say something, Val? A little help is needed. A little help is needed. Okay. Okay. That's the end of that one, okay? Oh, that's it. We're good. We're good. yeah. Okay. That's good. That gets us. I actually thought we were going to do a little further, but we'll do that next week. Okay. All right. Tonight, remember, they're called into question about who can be saved. And you have to answer that, obviously, for yourself between you and the Lord, as well as to read it. Here, okay, because it will make all the difference in who you see God's loving and whom you think you are free to love. And so learn that one, okay? Who can be saved? And we'll deal with what you have to do to be saved later, all right? But who can be saved? And that is the question. And it still remains a question for a lot of people. As to who can be saved, okay? Let's close in prayer. Lord, we thank you for your love toward us and these great men, especially thinking about Barnabas and Saul now, and just how you blessed them and how they have blessed the church. Lord, let us pay attention to those who need to be plugged in. And Lord, give us the wherewithal to do that so that they can find their a calling and fulfillment. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.